Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New York City, Manhattan, Chicago, San Francisco, three great cities of the American 20th century, now under extreme pressure by disorder. Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing at American Greatness and other distinguished publications, guides us to how this situation here in the 21st century spookily resembles the situation of Middle Rome and Late Rome, Rome itself and Constantinople. Victor is a classicist. I most enjoy his description of Rome because 2,000 years later, our institutions, our style, our personalities are built on the foundation of that city and its offshoot, Constantinople. Victor, a very good evening to you. What happened in Middle and Late Rome? What happened in middle and late Constantinople that resembles today? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, to take the latter first, I mean, Constantinople survived 1,100 years for longer than did the Western Empire that fell in the 470s AD. But by the time it fell to Mehmed II in 1453, John, the city that had 500,000 people. There were only 50,000 people there. They never recovered from the plague of the 340s about roughly 100 years earlier, the Black Plague that hit Europe. But more importantly, there was a sense that the government no longer could ensure their safety. And they had an impending sense that Ottomanism was going to come at some point and they wanted to get out. And so this once majestic city left. In the case of Rome in the 5th century AD, there's really sad tales of chroniclers who said the forum was overgrown with weeds and the aqueducts were silted up. And a city that had over 1 million people by the 5th century, early 6th century, when Belisarius the Byzantine came to get it back from the Goths, he couldn't believe it. There was only 70 or 80,000 people. So what does that tell us? I suppose people, when they're taxed at a great degree and they see very few services or very few guarantees that they'll be safe and government has failed them, and there's a trigger that will manifest or reify these suspicions. And in our case, it was COVID, I think, and the lockdown that was a nail in the coffin. But people would have stayed had they not had been prior disposed to leave. But once the COVID hit and the lockdown, they said, you know what, this is the time for me to get out. It's not safe here. I pay too many taxes. I get nothing in return. The schools are bad. The homeless are everywhere. It's dangerous to walk on the sea. We're medieval. We have excrement. We have injection. We have fornication. We have urination. We have defecation all over the sidewalks. And I want out. I think that was their mentality.
The situation when it deteriorates then is not reversible. So and Victor, you and I have both toured Roman ruins. It is a puzzle. You ask yourself, they just left it. For example, I visited northern Israel once and a city there where the pedestals have just fallen on the side and were left on the street. And there's evidence of subsequent living there, people taking the stones from the Roman era and building themselves little huts in northern Israel. And mm-hmm. I puzzle, where did they go? Is it a plague? Is it a pandemic? But you're saying that might start it, but it doesn't end it. People just decide that a city is not safe. They can't make any money. What is the decision to allow a population to leave the wonder of Constantinople or Rome?
Well, I think fundamentally it's the people no longer either trust the government or they feel that even a government that is sincere can't help them or can't protect them. And so when they get to that stage, they leave and there's really nothing you can do about it. They're not going to come back And there's an old Roman phrase to identify this phenomenon. It's the medicine is worse than the disease. And so when we apply that to the modern context, John, if you were in Chicago and if you were in New York or San Francisco, you know what would bring the people back. It would be a comprehensive program to get people off the street and put into tent cities away from downtown, or clean the sidewalks up. And then it would be to punish immediately smash and grabbers, carjackers, shoplifters, incarcerate them if they're found guilty. And then it would be to get rid of the teachers' unions and make school. All of those things would be considered by the people who created them worse than the disease. So that was the Roman paradox, that we know what's wrong with Rome, but we're not able to fix it because it would be contrary to the interest of the elite and contrary to prevailing dogma.
So the security collapses and people no longer believe they're safe in the city. It's Scythopolis I was thinking of. It's now called Betshin in northern Israel. Let's go to the modern cities. Let's come all the way 2,000 years. New York, I'm very familiar with, having broadcast there for more than two decades through the war on terror, through the collapse, the Great Recession, and now through the pandemic. It's a loss of confidence in the government and the authorities who maintain order in the streets. That's what's done it, Victor. That's why people are the people who own high-priced property and who have big franchises there. They're pulling back and don't trust it. Young people are there. I understand that. But the office buildings are half empty because of the pandemic, because it's inconvenient, and because the city is violent. Now, can that be reversed, Victor? Or is it
not unless you can return value? Because under our federal system, it's not Venezuela. There are alternatives. And those alternatives, ironically, are those states that 50 years ago or 100 years ago were in movies as backward, or the legacy of the Confederacy. I'm talking Florida, Texas, Tennessee. But they have low taxes and good government service, and they have traditionalism. So they offer people an alternative of the streets are safer, the schools are better, the taxes are lower, and there's a sense of civilization here. And so people then count up the pros and cons in a cost-benefit analysis. They're willing to do the most radical thing in their lives, uproot themselves from somewhere that they loved or where they were born or that they're accustomed to, and they leave. If there wasn't that alternative, then I suppose they would be forced to stay and there might be some type of revolution. But the revolution that we're witnessing, John, is one of, as Ronald Reagan said, voting with your feet.
San Francisco. We'll leave Chicago till a moment. Go to San Francisco. What I read is that it's not the city I visited is close as 10 years ago, that the disorder on the streets has now led people to no longer walk on the streets of San Francisco. Is that accurate, Victor?
I think so. I mean, it depends on where you go. But I know just personally, if somebody asked me to speak in San Francisco, and that happens somewhat frequently, I say no, because that means, A, I'm going to have to drive up there and park my car. And I know that there's an epidemic. It's got the highest per capita property crime rate in the United States. That means if my windshield is broken, there won't be a policeman to respond to it. And I'll be stuck there. And I can do what other people do, put a sign, John, on their car that says nothing about you or there's nothing here and leave it unlocked. But I'm not going to do that. And then when I walk on Market Street or something, there's a good chance that somebody who is homeless, probably drug ridden or with mental problems, will come up and scream at me. I check my feet to see if I've walked in excrement. If I were to go into a store or to back to the hotel. And so it's just, for me, it's not a very worthwhile experience when there's alternative.
Chicago. I can't tell whether it's a trend or an outlier. A recent mayoralty primary advanced the case for a man who is a good democratic liberal, but a man who believes that policing is the answer to Chicago's decline. I'm told major corporations have been leaving, the word is fleeing Chicago for some time. It's a long list. The present mayor, who is defeated in the primary, Ms. Lightfoot, was not against police, but then again, she was for them before she was against them. It's very confusing. Do you regard Chicago as a way that a city can defend itself, or is it too late, Victor?
Well, we'll see, but it wasn't Lori Lightfoot alone that, you know, allowed these murders to reach near historic proportions. It was her city councilman, her aldermen, her bureaucrats that came out of a particular culture. And the culture was one of poor people on government assistance in alliance with very wealthy liberal people who had the means to insulate themselves from the consequences of their own disastrous politics and ideology. I don't know if that's changed, and it won't burst. It might have a temporary reprieve, but in all these cases, things get very bad very quickly. And then people are at an inflection point. They either feel that life can't go on like it does, and they change for their own survival, or they leave. And if they leave, then there's no hope. And Illinois is, along with California and New York, the three states where people are leaving in droves. So I don't know if there's going to be enough people in Chicago left. Lori Lightfoot tried to, as you know, when she left, racialize it and said that it was because she was a woman of color and non-heterosexual that people had demonized her. But of course, she demonized other people when she said at one point, as I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, that she was not going to have interviews any longer with white reporters. So she deliberately tried to play the race card. The city is racially polarized. It might change if, you know, its iconic citizens, the Obamas, who used to brag about the Chicago way, if they would just, I don't know, they have a home in Chicago, if they would take 2 months of their lives and vacate Martha's Vineyard or Colorama in Washington or their Hawaii new mansion on the beach and just say, you know what, I'm going to move back to Chicago at the heart of this and go back to my community organizing days and walk the streets of Chicago and hang out at my Barack Obama library. If people did like that, who supported the policies that led to this current dilemma, if they were to do that, I think it might help.
The Byzantium model, though, the model of Rome, suggests that no one person, no good intentions of a group of people can reverse the decline once it starts, and that whoever takes the place of Ms. Lightfoot will be blamed for failing, but it's out of control. Is that the model we're worrying about?
Well, I mean, Rome was pretty bad shape as early as the Neronian period. They had four emperors. And all you have to, in 1 year, you just read Petronius's Satyricon or Suetonius's Life of the 12 Caesars to see how chaotic and rotten things were. And then all of a sudden, you've got this character of Vespasian and his son Titus come along, and then a little bit of a detour with Domitian. But then you get the period that Gibbon said was the finest period of human existence, the 100 years of Trajan and Hadrian and Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian, Marcus Aurelius, Antonius Pius. So there was 100 years of reform and renaissance, and then it went bad again. So you can have cycles, but it requires extraordinary people to take extraordinary risk. And I think we could have that. We could have a leadership class that was very different than our own, but it's not just, there are some, I guess, what we'd call centrifugal forces of the internet, globalism, that we haven't seen before. And I think part of the problem, John, is we have large sections of the population, young people, especially males, that are staying home. They're not buying homes. They're not getting married. They're not having children. They're not interested in getting a full-time job, or they can't. They're often in debt, and they've dropped out. And we look at our fertility rate that's gone from 2.1 in 1999 down to 1.6. We're shrinking, and people are not – there's a fragmentation of society where people don't do what they used to in the civic sense. And you look at certain institutions – the Oscars, the Tonys, the Grammys, the NBA finals. You look at the audience share or the attendance share, and they're markedly off. The network news that we all used to crowd along. It's not just ideological. I mean, there's technological and cultural reasons, but we're losing these institutions where people came together in common festivities. If you don't have your male population participating, but dropping out. And when you look at the age of marriage or the age of first childbearing, it's actually really striking and very familiar to late Rome.
We're going to the Mexican border asking, is it too late? The Biden administration changing policies. Maybe. Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.